Biggs. Biggs Time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs Time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs Time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you always have the story, and you're always on the story. We were talking about the running game. We talked about the main figures in it. Obviously, you've got the offensive line and everybody wondering what's happening there. But you also got to figure out what role Shane Waldron is playing in this. We were told there was great versatility there when they hired him. Will he be versatile this week? We talked about the idea that SEMO, Chris Morgan, is the running game coordinator. And I don't know if that's any different than when he was just the offensive line coach, if it's anything other than a title. But how do you separate what his role is versus the offensive coordinator's role versus whether or not the players can play?
Yeah, that's well, I think to separate it, you probably need a little more time, mm-hmm. right? You need a larger sample size, and you hope that they can get on the same page, because up there yesterday, you know, everybody's, hey, we're not far off. Going to require some little more communication, some of the details. And, you know, this, they've been able to run the ball in the past, right, with a lot of these offensive linemen. Now, the quarterback provided a boost, no question about that, and some of the rushing statistics. And that's one of the things I wondered about in this offseason was, you know, what will this rushing offense look like without Justin Fields at quarterback? They've been pretty darn good. A couple of years ago, they led the league in rushing, right? What will it look like without number one out there? And, well, it's looked bad through two games, but this is the spot here to get it going, guys. The Colts are 32nd in the league against the run. They've given up 477 yards rushing through the first 2 weeks. The last time an NFL team gave up more rushing yardage through the first two games than that, you got to go back to the Colts when they were in Baltimore in 1978. And they gave up, it was obscene, like 580 rushing yards through the first two games of that season. So that's how bad they've been stopping the run. The following week, they've got the Rams. Right now, they're 30th in the league against the run. And the week after that, not that the Bears are looking ahead or can afford to look ahead, but the week after that, it's the Carolina Panthers. They're 31st in the league defending the run. So in the next 3 weeks, the Bears have the three teams that are worst at defending the run right now in the entire league. Maybe they play the Bears and they shoot up in those rankings, maybe the Bears get the run game figured out.
So Matt Eberflus announced no changes would be made on the offensive line. Brad, do you suspect that's because he wants to stick with his group because of the schedule, as you just mentioned, invites some opportunity here? Or is it because Tevin Jenkins is on the injured list with a deep thigh bruise?
Yeah, or it's like, they just don't have a lot of great options. You know, their experienced depth guys are on IR, and Ryan Bates and Larry Borum. I'm sure those clamoring for Matt Pryor to be in the starting lineup have seen him play an awful lot in the past. That's a little bit of sarcasm there. Yeah, the Jenkins injury complicates it a little bit, but you. If they truly believe it's a communication thing and they're just off a little bit, yeah, you go with continuity. This is a team that rolled out, I believe it was 9 different starting combinations on the offensive line a year ago and 9 different starting combinations in the 2022 season. That's a vicious cycle that they'd like to get out of. So they're going to opt for some continuity this week, provided that Tevin can make it back on the field in time for Sunday's game down in Indianapolis, and you see where they're at. But if they can get the ground game going, you feel like that's going to open up some things in terms of play action, where Caleb, you know, hits the top of his drop and lets it rip, and then maybe you see some explosive plays, and perhaps it just takes, you know, two series where they look like they're really clicking to kind of help everyone get their feet under them. And listen, are they going to score on every possession? No, but make it start looking like, okay, this is going in the right direction. Because right now you look at it and you're like, my goodness, what are they doing right?
Well, you know, the answer to that is fairly obvious. You know, they play good special teams and they're playing good defense. And this is a team that will give you the ball. This is a quarterback that has given the ball away. So maybe that helps them. But, you know, you think about it, Brad. If it wasn't for good field position, they probably don't score a touchdown in that game. They managed to get a touchdown. Other than that, they got two 50-yard field goals. That's not – I mean, I respect the fact the guy can hit from 53 and 54 yards. That doesn't say much about anything they're producing on offense.
No, not at all. And against a defense that I think when we get to the end of the season, Houston's going to – it's going to be okay. They've got some real talent up front in terms of rushing the passer off the edge. The last couple seasons, that secondary has really struggled, and they made some moves this offseason. So we'll see where Houston's at. Heck, you don't even need to wait till the end of the season. You know, you get to late October, early November, get a pretty good idea of where they're at. But it was a road game. It was loud. It was the first Sunday night game at that stadium, I want to say, since 2019. So the Texans fans were juiced up for that. And that made it a little bit difficult. That's one of the reasons you saw the Bears struggle at times with the silent count, the four false starts. They've got to get that cleaned up. They've got to expect a loud crowd once again at Lucas Oil Stadium.
What did you make of the Caleb Williams press conference yesterday, the first time after a loss? And did you agree with him that the biggest problem with maybe pass protection and the amount of blitzes that they were unable to handle was related to communication?
I thought he was fine yesterday. I thought he was solid. If there's frustration, there's going to be frustration, right? They want to be a well-oiled machine, but it doesn't look like that's anything that's kind of weighing him down. Yeah, communication's a big part of it, and it's communication across the board. Like, you look at that one play where Cole Kmet comes in motion and it tries to block the edge, and Caleb gets sacked pretty quick. That's a called running play. There's an RPO there. They're run blocking on that play, and Caleb was trying to set up a little bubble to the opposite side. Well, the ball's got to come out right away because you've got to have the understanding that your tight end came in motion and he's going to be responsible for blocking the monster on the edge, and you can't hold on to the ball there. So I think it's communication. It's figuring some of these things out, but it's also one-on-one. Like, look at Darnell Wright. Like, you know, I think it was Hunter takes a hard step inside, or it could have been Anderson. They were both all over the place. Takes a hard step inside and then goes around him on the edge, and it looked like Darnell got caught in quicksand there. So that's not communication. That's execution. And that's, you know, sticking with the fundamentals of your job, which was one of the things that Eberflus kind of, you know, kept going back to yesterday was them zeroing in on some of the fundamentals on the practice field to be better this next time out.
I kind of bummed to see Andrew Billings on the injury report, just because he has emerged as just an unbelievable force in the middle of that defense. I think that when you look at him, we've talked about the value of the player. He might be the most underrated or underappreciated player on that defense that plays such an essential role.
Oh, I agree completely. Fortunately, we're looking at limited for Billings. Like, and I mean, that's a tough guy for them there. Who knows? I think what you have to do to get your body ready for Sunday. What you don't want is some kind of nagging injury, you know. And I will say this, but Billings was fantastic from the start last season for the Bears. Definitely earned that in-season contract extension. But I think it's probably fair to say that, you know, somewhere around November maybe, there was probably about a 3-4 game stretch maybe at the most where, you know, he didn't show up as much. And I think he was probably a little bit tired. They don't want to have to lean on him so heavily every Sunday that he's less effective for a stretch later on in the season. But he's been good. I think Trevon Dexter's been good. And, I look at the injury report, and Tevin's the one that kind of jumps out at you. Obviously, the Keenan Allen situation is a big unknown right now. But with Billings being limited on a Wednesday, I would, unless that was an injury that happened near the end of practice yesterday, I think I would feel relatively confident that he'll be in a good position by Sunday.
Brad, according to ESPN Sports and Info, 69 touchdown passes through two games, week two, is the lowest total, the fewest number since 2006. A rookie quarterback has yet to throw a touchdown pass. You look at the designed runs, accordingly, 41% is the highest number or highest percentage since 2008. What's going on in the league? Is it because so many young quarterbacks are being rushed to play? So many young quarterbacks are maybe erratic and the offenses are way behind the defenses? Or is it just a product of lousy preseasons and not having those emphasized? I'm trying to figure out exactly why the offense is way behind the defense around the league.
Well, I think you're seeing the defenses finally sort of catch up to defending these passing games. What have you seen a trend toward for, I mean, probably 20 years now, is the smaller, more athletic linebacker, right? The linebacker that can match and carry and zone coverage and help out defending against the pass. You know, you do not see those huge linebackers much anymore. People want guys that can cover ground there. So you're seeing schematically more two high shells. So, you know, however it's going to look, cover two, cover four, whatever, you're seeing defensive coordinators want to prevent the explosive play. The game's become about getting explosive plays on offense and preventing them on defense. And the Bears have done an excellent job of preventing them. They haven't been able to get any offensively, but so I think it's sort of a shift in personnel, a shift schematically towards more two high shells that has finally affected to a degree some of the passing offenses. I think that's probably the biggest explanation, to be honest with you, not an influx of young quarterbacks and them struggling. I think it's maybe the game's evolving back toward the running back a little bit. I wouldn't get carried away going in that direction. I wouldn't expect a repopulation of fullbacks necessarily around the National Football League, but it is interesting. And I think when we get a little deeper into the season, you know, when we can get to say 8-10 games and look at the data, then that'll be probably a little bit more revealing.
Brad, really enjoyed your mailbag and your comments on a lot of the things going on with the team and all the questions that people have. I'm just curious, Ryan Bates, you said that you think it might be better to give him the extra day after the London game, the bye week, that it might be better for him just in terms of how he heals. It's funny because I think a lot of people are looking at it like you got to get that guy back as fast as possible. But when you're talking about the kind of injury that he has, you might want to try to get him back for good, right? That might be the bigger calculation rather than figuring out if you can get him back fast.
Yeah, obviously the goal with putting him on injured reserve was to get him, his body in a position where when he does return, he'll sort of get uninterrupted service. Now, could the guy be missing some practice time for maintenance? Absolutely. What you don't want him to have happen is be missing games. The minimum amount of time that Bates is going to be on injured reserve will carry through that Carolina game. So that would, the Carolina game would be the fourth game that he's missed. That's the, you got to be on the shelf for four games if you're on IR. So if they simply keep him on IR for the following week, which is the Jacksonville game in London, then you got a bye coming out of that. You sort of, you miss one more game and you get two more weeks of rest. Plus I would point out that he hasn't practiced a ton in the last month. Right, because he was out for a while, that he can't, he really only had about a week of practice before he played in the season opener. So I think it would be a little unrealistic to activate him as they head to London to play Jacksonville, expect him to practice a couple days in London, and then be good to go in that game with all that time missed. So that seems like almost impossible from a timeline standpoint. So that's why I would look toward after the bye, which the Bears come out of that bye with a trip to Washington to play the Commanders.
And you described that injury as an arthritic condition. I thought that,
that's what's been described to me.
So explain that if you could. He's got a shoulder, but it's an arthritic shoulder?
The shoulder, it's affected him in the elbow. It's something I talked to him about it after the opener, and he said, you know, that he's dealt with this before. He kind of knows how to, what to do to manage it. And I think it just got to a point where it was going to be problematic for them. And they tried to rest him some in camp. So the hope is that some time off here. And again, if they carry him through the bye week, you're looking at, you know, the guy could have like 6 weeks off, get him in a spot where when he does get back out there, again, you've got him available on a week-in and week-out basis. Not ideal, but it's the spot they're in right now.
Great stuff, Brad.
Appreciate it, Bigsy.
Have a great day, guys.